Blog
Hello.
Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
And guess what? We have an intro for you. Check this out.
Expect the unexpected. Seeing before you know it, this covenant's not in vain. Once the promises start showing, so put your faith in motion. Praising before you get it. Encouragement's on your radio, so come and listen in. This Covenant Cafe. Come get some praise in your system with Lamont Ferguson. Poetic Laces in the building for the moms and pops and children. Ushers, pastors, musicians. Listen and pay attention. Expect a change and a difference. I'm too focused to let any doubt get in my way. Ultimate faith in God, I'll believe whatever he says. So glorify his name, he's more than worthy to be praised. I'm loving this covenant, Covenant Cafe.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Covenant Cafe. It's a fabulous day in the land of the living. What do you think?
Yeah, for real, if you're living, fabulous. Ain't too many people saying that right now. Well, it is too many people, but you know what I'm saying. Some people ain't saying that right now.
Yeah, I know what you're getting at. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it's Sunday again, and we have a fabulous show for you today. Of course, you know, we're going to cover sports, cover current events, poetry. Man, we just cover a gamut of things, and we enjoy you guys tuning in every week, week in and week out. We really appreciate it. It's definitely appreciated.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is definitely open up with our word, and then we're going to move right on into it.
All right, let's get it. So our word today, it comes from a very powerful revelation that the Lord gave me as I was ministering to some people this week. I just knew I had to share it, but he didn't give me the scripture until today, the exact scripture today. So the scripture that we're reading, that it comes from Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. Now, I want y'all to really pay attention to this because this is something that people just did not know was in there, I guess. It says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. So this scripture show is so powerful because it said there's a time for everything. There are seasons every time. Now, the point that I'm going with this is the Lord showed me something very powerful in the midst of ministering to this young man. The Lord showed me how there's a time for everything. So if there's a season for everything, that means stuff is going to happen. Life is going to happen. So all that blaming the devil, all that this and that, I could have did this better, or I should have did this, all that stuff, sometimes we got to really put that on the back burner because it's saying seasons. Think about seasons, fall, summer, spring, fall, all that, winter, summer, fall, spring, all that. This stuff is going to happen. So this is where I'm going with the message is that every season is going to come. There are signs that the season is about to come. Leaves start falling. You know that the season is about to come. It starts to get a little breezy. Another season is about to come. It's getting hotter. Season is about to come. All right. So with that being said, with that being seasons in the spiritual, The Lord is telling us, he tells us a season is about to come. Prepare your house, for this is about to happen. This is about to happen. The Lord gives us warning. Now, where am I going with this? I'm going this example. What was going on with this young man in particular that I was talking to, he was saying that he was wondering if the Lord, the Lord was telling him that he shouldn't be with this female. This female is not for him. The Lord kept warning him, telling him this is not the woman for you. Now, as a little bit of time passed on, he really finally realized, like, okay, I'm not supposed to be with her. But as he realized this, this girl's life was starting to fall apart. So now on his end, he was like, man, I think the devil is trying to make it harder for me to break up with her because your mom just died and this and that. Duh, duh. So that's when the Lord dropped on me. Like, she was getting ready to go into a season of turmoil. All this stuff was getting ready to happen, and you were supposed to leave her before this happened. Now it's harder for your end. Now, the metaphor that the Lord gave me to give him was, when this winter comes, before winter comes, the ants start storing up. They prepare for the season that they're getting ready to go into. Now, if the ant doesn't prepare for the season, when he goes into the season, it's going to be even harder. So, therefore, the season, the ant prepares for the season before it comes. So, with that being said, we need to be more sensitive to what the Holy Spirit shows us, what the Lord is guiding us. We got to stop being disobedient because the Lord knows what's going to happen when the seasons change. When we get ready, we go into a season of joy. You know, he knows this. So he made purpose for us. Then we get ready to go into a season of mourning. The Lord gives us signs. He gives us dreams. He talks to us. So the whole thing is, the whole overall message is that what I'm sharing with you guys is about how there is a season that everything's happening. So everything happens for a reason. There's a purpose for everything under heaven. There is a season that comes in our lives. Ups and downs, they will come. That's life. But the thing about it is we can be properly prepared for these seasons. How do we be properly prepared? By getting closer to Jesus Christ, getting closer to God, studying his word, paying attention, being obedient to his word. The Lord tells us a lot of stuff, a lot of stuff. Like when he said fornication, y'all don't fornicate, don't have sex before marriage, don't do this. He's telling you not to do this for your own good, because if you do it, you put yourself at risk of STDs, of AIDS, unwanted pregnancy, drama. People are beefing nowadays, killing people over baby mom and baby daddy drama. All this stuff happens in unwanted, this fornication before marriage. This is what I'm saying. It's preparation. God's word tells us stuff to prepare us and to keep us out of this trouble. So this is why we have to cling closer to him, so we can be prepared for these seasons. Unwanted or wanted seasons, we can be prepared. So that's what we're at.
Whoa, that's pretty pretty heavy, because
yeah, it is.
Being prepared for life in general can't sum it up enough once you break it down into the smaller categories. Being prepared at work. You know, when you go to work, what do you need? What kind of tools you need to go to work with?
Right.
You need your laptop. Do you need your ID to get in the building? You have
right.
to be prepared. Do you have an interview today? How are you going to prepare for your interview? Shirt, tie, maybe if you don't have a shirt, if you don't have a button, a tie, a nice shirt and a nice pants. Make sure you prepare for what you're about to go into. And
that's
how God does it. I mean, he wants to prepare us for a better life, and sometimes we don't look at it like that, and we look at it like once something doesn't go right, we
mm-hmm.
like, oh man, what happened, man? I wish it could have went this way. I wish, you know, just stop wishing, you just chill. God got it.
Yeah. Sure.
Because we all kind of fall into that category, but some more than others.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, if you're going to be professional and working in the professional world, and yes, McDonald's is the professional world on that level,
on
the fast food chain level. You know, a lot
mm-hmm.
of people that work for those companies like McDonald's, I've never worked there, but however, you have, you know, your McDonald's, your Wendy's, your Burger King, people don't take
mm-hmm.
those jobs seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a business.
It is a business.
You know what I mean? Although everybody like, you work at McDonald's, but hey, look, it's a job. Yes, I have to wear this uniform. That's part of my preparation for work. I can't go in there
right.
without my uniform on.
Right.
So whatever you do, do it at 100%, not 5%. That's all I'm
That's
saying.
That's all
I mean. That's all I'm saying. I don't want to start no trouble. That's all I'm saying.
I totally agree because even a job like that, like I got a friend that works there now, and he started off, you know, just a cook, fry boy, whatever, but now he's a manager. And now it's like a different – he took at 100% and he grew. So him being now like the manager, being prepared to be a star, to be the manager over the entire store, the store owner, him being prepped for that is no longer a whack job. Like, look at the difference. You got a fry boy, you back at McDonald's. Then you got – you own McDonald's? You own that store? You own the store owner? That's what's up.
But the thing is,
he started from the bottom to climb to the top. So the thing is, yeah, I fully believe it doesn't – okay, whatever job you're working, definitely go in at 100% because you don't know where it may take you from there. You don't know who's watching you. You never know because you can be working at McDonald's, and because of your great customer service, an employee from Bank of America, one of the high big dudes from Bank of America, he comes in and he loves your customer service, so he wants to make you one of his close, his right hand men,
mm-hmm.
and the call center. But you never know that because if you slacking, you don't know who's watching you. Whenever, however, you don't know what's going on, so you got to go hard.
Definitely, I mean, you have to take it serious. And I could see people going, "Oh, it's just McDonald's, man. I don't care.
Yeah,
it's just McDonald's," but like you said, you can grow. And depending on how you want to grow, even if you say, hey, I don't plan to grow in this company, but the way people look at you is the way you do your work.
Right.
So if I don't really want to work at McDonald's, but I plan on working at, let's say, Office Max. I don't know. I'm just saying
mm-hmm.
Office Max.
Yeah, just don't ask.
And you giving someone bad service, how do you know that's not going to be the person that's going to be interviewing? You get over there.
Yeah,
then,
that's real.
Now you didn't cut someone up, you know, because they wanted their order right. Now you're looking to interview under their leadership.
Yes.
Then you're looking like, oh, I should have took my job serious.
Right.
Because I've had some interesting situations at McDonald's or Wendy's.
Yeah.
You know, but like I said, they don't take it serious, you know. They don't think they're going to see you again. So they do what they want to do.
That's true.
But what they say, karma is an incredible thing.
Yeah, I've heard other phrases. They weren't as pleasant as that one, but I'm rocking with you, sir.
And also, ladies and gentlemen, so we can go ahead and move on. We have some interesting news on both ends of the spectrum. You guys know I do the weird news part of the section, and Lace does the current event. He has some very interesting things going on. Can you let them know what's going on?
All right. It's been a debate on what am I going to say first, but I know what I want to say first now. So this one really caught my eye, which is titled, a Muslim clerk explains a girl in the Pakistan blasphemy case. So what's basically going on, Pakistani police say a Muslim clerk planted evidence to link a Christian girl to blasphemy. A new twist in the case has been found. Flames of religious tension in the country and attracted worldwide interest. The Imam Khalid Jadul Chiasti will himself face blasphemy charges for tearing pages out of a Quran to use as evidence against the girl. So, you know, the thing that's in depth about this, you know, just giving y'all a quick background, is this young lady, Chiasti, she's Christian over here in a Muslim region. And allegedly she was found, well, they found evidence allegedly of her burning ripped out pages from the Muslim holy book, the Quran. And the difference between over there and here is they take their religion very seriously. It's blasphemy. If you do anything to disrespect their God, their religion beliefs or anything like that, you're going to jail for it. You're going to pay. You can even lose a foot or two straight up. So in this situation, this 14-year-old young lady, is accused. And then come to find out with new evidence that was just released, she was set up. So, you know, I'm looking at this article and I'm thinking several things. One is like, man, this is how hard we should be going, straight up. And I ain't saying like we need to kill people who disrespect God. I'm not saying nothing like that. What I'm basically saying is that it gets to a point to where you got to stand for something or fall for everything, straight up. Like, they're standing for their belief. Like, you're not going to disrespect our God, straight up. And if anybody does it, we're going to collectively come together and we're going to pass judgment on you as the word is saying. So that was one. But another thing is, too, is like it really caught my eye about this. It's Muslim and Christian, how, you know, a lot of on our end, we're almost like, if I wasn't black, it wouldn't be a problem. If I was a white guy, I would beat this case. It wouldn't be this big, whatever, whatever. So on this end, I'm looking at how they made it clear that she's Christian. They didn't have to say that in this article, nor stated on the news that she's Christian. So there is so much publicity because of this so-called war between Christians and Muslims. You already know Muslims were killing Christians previously in that region anyway. So to think about how this guy set up a 14-year-old girl, there is no color, race, religion, or any kind of holds bar when it comes to evil. So y'all remember that. Just because you are this person, or because you do this and you do that, or you're this age, or you're this skin tone, or whatever it may be, don't think that evil cares. If evil wants to come at you, it's going to come at you.
Oh, yeah, it's going to come at you hard.
Yeah, most definitely. Don't think evil is nice by any way. Like, you know, you're just a child. No, sir. No, sir. This grown man child. This female, she's a baby. She's just now learning puberty.
Wow.
Yet she's facing big boy charges.
That's incredible.
Yeah, man. And before we get to you, though, on a lighter note. Well, no, it's not even lighter. It just is interesting. On a more interesting note, it's a good, bad kind of situation, depending on what side of it are you on. 68-year-old man, he gets fired for a prank he committed in 1963. So the case is Richard Eggers was fired from Wells Fargo Home Mortgage for a crime he committed 49 years ago. As a college student, Eggers and a friend, they were at a laundromat washing clothes, and out of boredom, Eggers, he just cuts out some diamond shapes out of a cardboard box, and he starts placing it in the machine and just to see if it'll work. So in the midst of his curiosity, a police officer walks in, and now this curious action becomes a crime. So here we are 49 years later. Wells Fargo's, you know, representatives are doing a background check, and they see that he's done something stupid, a little petty crime. But he gets fired from it due to some of the statutes, 1000, the Federal Deposit Insurance Act, Section 19, which prohibits a person convicted of any criminal offense involving dishonesty or a breach of trust. So, like I said, depending on which end you're on, if you're on the end of being a consumer or a client or a customer of these banks because of these new laws and policies that are implemented in their establishment, you're kind of – our security is a little more better. They're upping it up. Like, they're not just letting anybody work for them anymore. So if somebody has known for petty theft, little crimes like that, they're not allowed to work around money or dealing with anything that can harm you financially in the long run. They're not allowed that. But if you're on the other end, when you're, 68 years old, you were a stupid 18-year-old in college, nothing really major, whatever, whatever, and you messed up one time. Next thing you know, years later, after been working on this job for 7 years, you can get fired. It's like, that's crazy because I was a child. Like, why am I paying for something I did as a child? So depending on what the scale is, the overall message is what it shows is that it's showing a shift in the times, and also on top of that, it's showing that you're, you know, as young people, I'm talking to my young people right now, and also I'm talking to older people, the things you do now will affect you for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
So don't think just because you're young and you do this, you won't have to deal with this later, because it's 49 years ago. Brett dealing with a crime right now, lost a job right now, got bills to pay right now. But it doesn't matter, because what he did 49 years ago is affecting him.
Mm-hmm.
So think about your actions. Think about what you're doing, how you're walking. How do you show yourself? Because they will dig up stuff. Even if you're on your way to stardom or to fame, we already know how many celebrities or whomever, even political leaders, they dig up your background and they try to use that to tear your name apart. So be cautious of how you present yourself in these modern day times. Because this is how real it's getting. It's getting harder. Yes, it is.
Wow. You know what? It's just, the thing is, society has actually caused that makeup. If you're young, you can do anything that you want and don't worry about it. It won't catch up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it will, and especially nowadays. Oh my!
Yeah.
They track every single thing that you do, and we all on Facebook, Twitter, and all that other stuff. It's cool, but it's only cool if you're doing things that I'm not condoning certain things. Let's say drinking. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not condoning the drinking, but however, let's say if you know that you're not going to be working in a certain environment. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If that's your life, you do what you're going to do. But don't post it. Don't post it. Because you don't know when you actually going to make a transition into a different job that you may not think that you're going to be working at.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I see people got all kind of, you know, postings that can get you fired.
True.
I've also seen people where they call in sick from work, but they got pictures on Facebook at the same time they're supposed to be at work. You know, I've seen it. Trust me, I've seen it. So it's just, you really, really, and that's just the simple stuff. I'm not even talking about crime.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a simple thing, but and when you're young, yes, there's almost like a forgiveness, a forgiveness thing within our law system, with the justice system.
Mm-hmm.
But however, yes, that's there, but you don't know what job is still looking at that. They don't
mm-hmm.
have to tell you why they didn't hire you.
They don't.
You know what I mean? So you have to think about that as well. They're not going to tell you. Well, the reason, let me call you. I'm calling you up. Hey, ladies, I just want to call you up and let you know I thoroughly enjoyed your interview. It was great. You were stressed sharp. Your head's on right. But we got to looking at all the candidates, and we did look at your record. And, hey, buddy, you did some things that we can't agree with. That's why we're not going to hire you. They're not gonna do that. They're gonna send you a letter. Thanks for applying. We found a better person for the position. And that's
If that. And I want to piggyback off of what you're saying too, because a lot of people like to date off of the young thing. It's this phrase, and I hate it. It's YOLO. You only live once. I hate it. Because you don't only live once. There's another life after you die. But the thing that makes me more mad about it, because, okay, you may not be a believer and you feel like you only live once. The thing is, if you only live once, you live in this model every single day. And I'm talking about the way how they're using this model. I might see it on my Twitter feed. I might see it on Facebook or whomever. Or I might even hear it because, I still deal with my urban community. You like, I'm finna get pissy drunk, smoke hella blunts, so you only live once. What? So what if you live tomorrow? And then you wind up with liver cancer. What you saying? That it's so stupid because you go so hard and you're not even it's a go hard and not preparation that tomorrow may come. Man, I got a girl pregnant. Man, I'm finna go hard there because I might just be dead tomorrow. But what if you live tomorrow and this child is born? You're not gonna take care of them because you only live once. What if you do die? Are you going to even have any prep? Are you going to have any kind of inheritance for your kids or for your family? The level of ignorance is ridiculous, to be honest with you. Like, how do you feel you only live once you just go hard, but then you wake up and you're still here. And then you wake up again and you're still here. And then you wake up again and you're still here. And nothing is accomplished because you just went hard for last night because you didn't think tomorrow may not have come. The only way I could agree with the term or with the phrase point blank period is I live every day like it's my last day. So that I'm loving like it's the last time. I'm praising God like it's my last time. I'm going after job opportunities like it's my last time. I'm doing good in school like it's my last time. I'm studying like it's my last time. Because I don't know what tomorrow's promised. So I'm going to make sure that I go as hard as I can before I die. Not partying and drinking is my excuse because I'm young. Are you serious? Ain't no, it's no excuse because you got to deal with this when you get older. You do all that now. It's like I've seen so many commercials, so many. I know people. I spoke at so many places about people, and they tell me straight up, it was like, man, I wish my head on was like that because when I was younger, I was smoking all these packs of cigarettes a day. Now that I'm older and I thought I was going to be dead, but now that I'm older, I got to deal with lung cancer. I got a freaking hole in my throat. All kind of stuff is like that, but you only live once. Are you kidding me? And then we go deeper into the spiritual aspect of it. No, you don't only live once because when you die, you're going to wake up and you're going to see that you got another life to choose. That well, you already chosen when you was on earth. Now you got to live a life in hell or a life in heaven. But you only live once on earth, so you didn't even put no inheritance into that.
Nothing.
So now you screwed.
Wow. That's really deep. That's really deep. Because you do have these people that say, man, you only live once. You might as well get in there. I'm going ham. Really?
You're right.
You know, and with that, because I work with kids on an alternative level, meaning these are the kids that actually, if you take a classroom and you have one or two bad apples, in the environment that I'm working with are those people that there are the bad apples. So all of the kids are supposed to be the bad apples. And they don't care. They have a nonchalant attitude. I don't care. I'm going hard anyway. I don't care. Hold on, we do have a caller. Let me see. Let me go to the line. We have a caller on the line. Maybe they're going to be giving us some feedback here. Caller, you're on the line, the Covenant Cafe.
This is your boy, Donnie C.
What's going on, Donnie C?
Donnie C.
Nothing much.
Hey, before you even say anything, Lamont, Donnie C. All right, my name is Party Place. And it's funny. Let me tell you how God works. This is how crazy God works. Listen to this. I wrote him, no lie. I didn't know he was going to be on the show or nothing. I wrote him like several weeks ago or whatever. I wrote him. I was like, man, I'm feeling your vocals, blah, blah, blah. And he just wrote me back like within 2 weeks ago and was like, man, I'm loving Broken Wings, da, 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 da. You remember that, Donnie C?
Yes, sir.
So I'm just saying, I'm just tripping like, man, I heard your music previously, and it's not because you're on the show, but real talk, like, glory to God, man, your music, it really touches me, and I commend you as a man of God and what you're doing, and plus, you're doing the neo-soul gospel movement, I love it, and I just had to say that so y'all don't think that I'm just going with the flow. Like, this is real talk, sincerity in my heart, man. Glory to God, I really commend you.
Thank you so much. That is exactly what the music is about, touching.
It's definitely dope, man. I mean, it brings another way to another spin on gospel music. Period. And I think that's what gospel music needs nowadays, especially to reach the younger generation, not just our generation, but just the younger, to keep kids wanting to listen and want to be involved in church.
That is exactly right.
You know, so, Lacey, you were going to say something?
You want to give them our gift?
You know what? Donnie, this is the deal here. We don't have any cash, and what we offer is a recession-proof situation. And this is it right here. That is our gift to you.
All right. Now, thank you so much for that gift.
I'm sorry, Lacey, go ahead.
All right. So basically, we're about to go into the interview phase, and I'm gonna act like I don't know anything about you. I didn't read your bio. I have no clue what's going on. This is for the audience, in one sense. So Donnie, basically, you know, we mentioned on how, you know, you're doing the neo soul, the gospel move, and I can't lie, the anointing is on that. Now, what I want to know, what we want to know, you know, coming, we're from a urban kind of background, which is like I always say, nice for ghetto hood kind of sense, and we want to know, what is your testimony? How is your anointing so thick? What did you go through, and how did you overcome what you went through to be where you are today, to give us hope that we should press forward?
Well, basically, growing up with without absent parents, with my parents not being present in my life, growing up and living with different people, foster care, cousins, friends, just growing up in a very troubled environment. I started out singing just regular neo soul, which didn't cut it. It wasn't cutting it for me. Mm. And, you know, I wanted to bring awareness, but I wanted to do it with it, like using my messages. Instead of singing about love and singing about relationships, I wanted to sing about my relationship with God, connecting with Him, so that, you know, letting people know that when you connect with God, you in your situations that you go through, things in your life that you go through, it can change. Only thing you have to do is just believe and just reach out your hand to Him, and He can change you. And that is basically my whole message for my whole for all the songs that's going to be on my album that is coming out in 2013.
Okay.
All I have to say before you go on, Lace, P-Town. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I'm right here in your city, homie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I grew up in Portsmouth, Virginia.
That's what's good. I'm sorry, Lace. I didn't mean to cut you off.
It's okay. So, all right. Now, since you mentioned that your album is coming out in 2013, can you give us a little background on the album and, you know, tell us something about it. Give some background on it.
It's basically, the album title is Getting to Know You. It's basically me getting to know God, and not just the way that, you know, people say in church, I'm getting to know you, you know, as a healer, but I'm getting to know Him more on my personal level, you know, how He has changed my life, changed the way I view things, the way I receive information and give information out. Like, it's taking you to a whole new level of getting to know God, not just being very, you know, religious, quote unquote, just being, you know, church, but just being authentic and real to you. Mm-hmm. And that is basically what my album is going to be about. And the title of it is Getting to Know You, and it is set to come out April of 2013.
That's definitely some good stuff. So the song that we're actually about to go get into, Shelter from the Storm, can you tell us a little bit about that song before we get into it?
Yeah. Basically, I was going through a situation in my life where, you know, I just needed comfort. I was not for sure in my direction in life and where I wanted to go for as career-minded, for as, you know, my wife and my kids, and I was just at a standstill in life, and I just needed something to, you know, sometimes you look for a reassurance from other people, and you look for, you know, family shoulders to lean on, and sometimes when God has you in a place that He wants your attention, sometimes you can't go to that next person. So at that point in time, I began to, you know, wanted to lean on someone, and that's when I put my trust and I began to lean on God. So I wrote the song Shelter from the Storm because He will be that for you. He will be your shelter in the time of storm. He will be your shelter from all types of situations in your life.
That's awesome. Mm. Okay, we're going to get to your song, Donnie Sweet, and then we're going to come right back to you, okay?
All right.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Donnie C, Shelter from the Storm, and you heard it here on the Covenant Cafe.
in terms of stormy weather. I don't know how much more of this I can take, but I don't want to lose my faith. Become blind to the fact some shelters need work. It's not made by man, but it's up to you with the shelter.
What I'm talking about. Listen,
when you think everything is just not going right, knowing you have shelter, anything is possible to help you win the fight. Oh Lord, oh Lord.
Can I say this?
The storms may come your way. Keep looking for a brighter day. You can count on His love to protect you from weathery days. The storm may come your way. Keep looking for a brighter day. You can count on His love to protect you from weathery days.
I love that song. Real talk, it is on my playlist.
Thank you.
So that's really dope. Now, before Lace asks some more questions, I do have one question. I'm a huge fan of writing. I'm not a songwriter, perhaps, but you know, write film scripts, shorts, plays, and things of that nature. And I have an odd writing schedule, you know. So what is your writing schedule when you decide to write music? Do you, does it hit you, or do you say, okay, today I'm not going to do anything, I'm going to knock out a couple of songs? How do you handle your writing process?
Basically, in my writing process, basically it has to come to me. It has, like you say, it has to hit me. I could be driving down the street somewhere, and you know, and I could be going somewhere, and it'll click in me, like, you know, something that has happened in the past, or you know, not necessarily have to mean something that has happened in the past, but something that I'm going through right now, and I'll just get a melody in my head. And when I get that melody, I begin to write my hook. My hook, I don't know why, but I always write my hook first, and then the verses begin to flow.
Oh, yeah. And that's pretty neat, because writing a hook is also kind of helping out with the storyline, too.
Yeah.
Of the song.
Yeah.
Okay, it's all yours there, Lace.
All right. You mentioned, especially coming after that song, you mentioned that you grew up without parents, and you were in foster care or at different houses from time to time. What is something encouraging that you can tell to one of the listeners, or not necessarily the listener, but anybody that's dealing with this right now? What helped you to overcome, or some mistakes that you learned from in this process, or just some of the things you dealt with? Something like, if we needed a word right now, what could you give us?
Get to know God. When you get to know God on a personal level and have that personal relationship with Him, you can make it through anything. You just got to get to know Him. Not you don't have to get to know Him the way Mama said or Grandma said. You know you got to do this, you got to do that. No, get to know Him on your personal level.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get to know Him on your personal level, anything is possible through Him.
Yeah, that's real. That's real. That's real.
Before you go with the social information, Lace, I just want to Donnie know that someone just hit me on Facebook saying they really liked your song.
Thank you so much, and I hope it encouraged them, and I hope that, you know, they can spread it around. Maybe they know someone that needs shelter from the storm, need that protection, need that melody to just get them through, maybe, and just asking them to share it.
Awesome.
Amen. Yeah, we're definitely going to be bumping that, for real. So just as we closing out, what events or any shows or any places that you may go out to speak, what do we have to look forward to coming from?
You have to look forward to having a pre-album release coming soon. It's going to actually be in Greensboro, North Carolina. The date hasn't been set yet, but it's coming real soon. Working towards getting a video done for one of the songs that's going to be selected from the album. I don't know exactly which one. I don't know if it's going to be Shelter from the Storm, but I have a lot of different hits on it on this album that has been produced. It's a great album, and it's going to really minister to a lot of the youth, and it's going to touch even, you know, some older ones, because the music that I write is very mature music, so it's gonna really reach the masses, and I'm praying and hoping that, you know, a lot of people will come to Christ and get to know Him. You know, don't feel like they have to shy away from the church because, you know, they not like the people in the church. Be them. Be yourself. Enjoy who you are. Enjoy who God made you to be.
Yes.
That's the truth.
Amen. So closing out on questions from my end, how can we reach you? Where can we find you at? What if I want to buy your music? What's up? Tell me, give me all the information on getting in touch with you and following you.
All right. You can follow me on twitter.com/DonnieC. You can follow me on facebook.com/experiencedonnieC. Then you can also follow me on my website, which is DonnieCSoul.com, and I'm also on YouTube, youtube.com/DonnieC1.
Great. I want you to repeat that one more time because I want to make sure everybody got that.
All right. You can follow me on facebook.com/experiencedonnieC. You can follow me on twitter.com/DonnieC. You can follow me on youtube.com/DonnieC1, and also my website, DonnieCSoul.com.
Good stuff. That's it from my end, Mark.
Oh, that's all. You hit it on the nose. All I'd like to say is that thank you for taking your time out and calling us and hanging out with us for the evening.
All right. Thank you for inviting me.
All right.
Donnie, I'm definitely going to stay in touch with you from time to time just to keep you,
right.
I'm most definitely going to keep you in prayer, but I'm going to stay
definitely
in touch with
do
you,
that.
Bro.
Definitely. We appreciate it, bro. You be safe out there.
All right.
All right. God bless. That was an awesome interview, man. Very down to his character.
I am really feeling that song, no lie.
The song is dope, man. I mean, I always get caught up when I hear songs like that because these are songs, and I'm not knocking the traditional songs. I'm not knocking that at all. But but we're at a time where, like we were talking about earlier, the young people, we need to focus on our youth. And if we're going to get them to come to church, get them to listen to gospel songs, get them in that vein, you have to have something that you can put in the bread and feed them. Because if you're not going to do that, and the minute they hear it sound watered down, they're not going to listen to it. They're not.
Yeah.
If your rap's not sound watered down, they're not going to listen to it.
That's
one thing I like about your music. It catches the listener, and then they begin to listen because we like beats.
Right. True.
So, and that goes all the way back to Africa. It's not a history lesson, but I'm just letting you guys know it does go.
Run it.
So we're accustomed, like, oh, you hear a nice beat, you know, we're making those moves. But if it's not catching, moving to them, they're not going to listen to it. And
that's true.
I think that's one of my pet peeves with a lot of Christian artists, because they feel that they have to water it down, and you don't have to water it down.
Right.
You know what I mean? Make it so. I know, but the thing is, some people don't believe in that, though. Some people believe that if your beats sound like of the world, you're of the world. And I don't believe that.
Right. Me too.
You know what I mean? Because how else are you going to get them? You can't. Okay, it's like, I mean, you're preaching. When you preach to the choir, you're only going to save but so many people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
True.
Maybe one or two people that's in the choir, like that may be struggling, like, yeah, I just sing in the choir because I got a good voice, you know? But the majority of the people, you know, they already know what's going on. They already know what to do.
Right.
So in order for us to reach people, it's important to go out in your community. It's important to put the message in the bread and make it more innovative and creative so they can, you know, get the message out to them.
True. And, you know, and the thing is, too, what I'm noticing more and more, it's just that it's just really the caliber and the type of gospel this artist is, the type of gospel artist is. Because you have some gospel artists who make music for the church. It's just to encourage the saints. And then you got some gospel artists who makes music for the world. You know what I mean? And the thing is, and when I say they make it for the world, like, because I would put myself in that kind of category. Like, I don't write music for the four walls of the church. Now, mind you, saints and Christians, we can rock to it and vibe to it, but I'm really making music for those who don't understand, who don't know what it's like to have a relationship with God, nor know, like, the realness of it. Because if you see, like, a lot of times in my music, it's with slang. I'm talking with slang. I talk with a lot of slang, breaking down the scriptures in a way that you can understand it. I'm not going to come to the street to a dope boy and be like, hey, thou shalt not steal, or, you know what I mean? I'm be like, bro, you shouldn't be stealing. So it's all about the type of artist and who he want to deliver to. And a lot of artists don't even know themselves and what their gospel is really about. It's a lot of, you know, and I'm not even calling anybody out, because I know for myself, I had to ask myself that, because a lot of times, because I can get discouraged. If I go to a church and they're like, everybody is seasoned vets, church members, and this is what they do, and I'm trying to minister to them my music, they may not receive me. And then I'm going to end up leaving that question myself, like, dang, maybe I'm not called to do this. No, I wasn't called to preach to them. I'm called to preach to those who don't know the gospel and who love a banging beat. So it's just basically knowing where you fit in and where God has called you, what arena, because I can't reach everybody, nor can the next man. But if we as the body of Christ operate together, we can save a lot of souls if it wasn't so much division, you know. So it all, it just, you know, it's a lot that plays into it. It's a strategic game. It's a strategic way that God mapped everything out. And it's on us to learn God so we can know where God has put us in the strategic plan.
You're absolutely right. You know what? What we're going to do is actually go ahead and go to a commercial break. We're going to actually come back with the weird news. And there's some good... We do have some good songs. We always have good songs up here. And
we definitely do.
You know, we do. You know, and it's not us. It's the artists that sends us our music, and they are very talented. But however, I don't know how I got into all that. But we definitely, ladies and gentlemen, we definitely have to come back. We definitely have to pay our bills. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Do you have an event you're planning and need a keynote speaker? Then the Speakers Bureau Institute is the agency for you. Actress Tasha Smith partners with RKD Music and Talent Management to bring an array of celebrity speakers, artists, and athletes for your event. Book names like Kim Coles, Tasha Smith, Tisha Campbell-Martin, Vanessa Bell Calloway, LaToya Luckett, Lisa Leslie, Flex Alexander, Leela James, Cheryl Lee Ralph, and more. Whether it's a conference, workshop, seminar, or college event, SBI has provided a phenomenal lineup of speakers that will cater to your event. For more information on booking a speaker for your next event, call 818-571-0998 or visit rkdmusic.com. SBI is a subsidiary of RKD Music and Talent Management, located in Beverly Hills, California.
Attention all shoonistas. Looking for a hot stiletto? Are you addicted to sexy shoes? Make a fashion statement and check out the Stiletto Diva at www.thestilettodiva.com. We have what you need. The Stiletto Diva is committed to bringing you a variety of affordable, quality styles to help complete the sexy in you. We're here to assist you with bringing out the ultimate diva from head to soul. True divas wear stilettos. Visit us at www.thestilettodiva.com to find the perfect pair or for information about booking a party.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson.
And Poetic Lace.
Poetic Lace. On the Covenant Cafe. That's okay. It's just a little delay. It's all good.
No, you didn't say and. That's what happened.
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get into some very interesting things here. Now, there is one thing to doze off at work, but this is really something interesting. Lynn Benson. He's a disgruntled worker. He actually drove his bulldozer into his office at Ritchie Brothers Auctioneers.
What?
This happened in
Houston.
After a long day at the office, some people, like I said, ready to doze, but Lynn Benson was apparently ready to bulldoze. Police arrested Benson, 52 years old, Monday evening after he allegedly boarded a bulldozer and drove it into his place of employment. How do you allegedly do that?
You just spoke my mind because I'm thinking we use that word allegedly too loosely. Real talk.
Loosely.
Like sometimes we just got to be like, bro, he did it. He after such and such did what he did it.
Exactly. And he caused $1.5 million in damages to the building. No one knows what caused him to snap. No one knows. He just Some people say he was just under some pressure. That's obvious. That's very obvious. I'm quite sure he wasn't coming up there to pick up his check.
I'm quite sure. And a bulldozer. Where did he get it? That's what I want to know. Like, where did you? Because I'm having a hard time finding a motor scooter right now. So you talking about a bulldozer?
A bulldozer. Maybe it was just hanging around the area there. Now he was He was actually charged with a felony, criminal mischief, and was he's being held at $200,000 bond.
Oh man, he's 50 something years old.
Yes. I tell you what, I won't play no practical jokes on that guy.
Real talk. You know what? There's always more to the story we don't know. This is what I'm saying. It's something else. Because it's like you, to get to that point,
to drive
life.
Yes. A bulldozer. I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, I thought you had to be certified to drive a bulldozer.
Right.
So he must be certified. Now, here's another sticky situation here. In Quebec, there was a maple syrup heist. These guys, stole, let me tell you, millions of dollars worth of maple syrup.
Oh, snap.
They said it was missing from a large warehouse stocking over 30 million dollars worth of the amber nectar. The theft, it put the cavity size in Quebec syrup stock, considered it to be a global strategic reserve of the sweet stuff that is often used to replenish markets during disappointing seasons. Meaning that this guy just messed up. They said also Quebec produces up to 80% of the world's maple syrup.
Whoa.
Now, they took over $30 million worth. Yes. Now, what makes you steal that? I mean, like, how are you going to load that? Hey, yo, son, I got that syrup on sale. I mean, for real, like, I just heard on the news that somebody bought syrup. And that is the weird news for today.
Before you close it, I want to. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yo.
Okay, well, what we're going to do, we have a little technical difficulties. But however, hey, let the church say amen on the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson. Andre Krauts, let the church say amen.
Everybody
say amen.
God
has spoken.
So let the church,
say.
To what his word
says,
God has spoken. Let the church
say,
amen. Ooh, yeah, yeah. Make this your response to whatever he says.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Covenant Cafe. There's something that happens here on that song. I'm not sure what's going on with that, but however, we will go into another song of our choice, and our choice will be Sonya McGuire, Beautiful, here on the Covenant Cafe.
Hoping that this day will be anything but usual.
thanks for listening to that Sonya McGuire, beautiful, yeah, Covenant Cafe.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what's funny, man? I've never heard a digital song skip ever.
That's what I'm saying.
That was funny. You know what, man? You gotta give me a call. That was very interesting, ladies and gentlemen. That was definitely interesting. But thank you for tuning in to the Covenant Cafe. Your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
And we were actually discussing, we were talking about these situations, the sticky situation. Well, like, how do you still syrup? I mean, like, why would you still syrup? And why would you bulldoze your job? I mean, like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
What makes you say, hey, I want to stick up this joint and I want all the syrup? No, that's just wrong. That's wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, we do need to get into our poetic avenue, the poetic spot. And, of course, your boy Lace is definitely going to bring some hot fire. You know what? I should bring us some hot fire. But I don't got no hot fire right now. I got some cold fire. But I think what you have that type of... You got that bomb stuff over there.
But oh, glory to God.
So we're going to get into the poetry spot here on the Covenant Cafe. Check it out.
This is the poetry spot, and I'm Isis, the goddess of poetry. Flow it free into the universe, tasting down the tongue, and speaking new languages. Leave feeling its freedom ringing in your soul. Flow it freely. No, leave that which prohibits you to be anything else but free-flowing in the breeze. Flow it free until your conscious freezes with zest and less stress to confine its motionless mind, dimming light till you are blind. No, let's rewind. Go back in time when it would only cost a penny for your thoughts. Now, it's a dime. Flow it free. Do not be reckless and intertwined with bottomless pits of naked minds. Be not afraid to take a peek into my mind, because only in this place and time, within the fine lines, will you find a peace of mind, and you will then be able to flow it free. Now, leave me. This is the D Poetry Spot.
There you have it, the Poetry Spot. What's up, Lace? What do you have for us for today?
Hit the button.
Hit the button. You know what? We gonna hit a couple buttons. One, like I said, you got that. And then we got a...
And that's too kind.
People were elegant. They have.
I like them. They're really classy.
They're really classy. They're elegant and classy. Class. I'm sorry. Go ahead. What you got for us, man?
Well, first, all the glory be to God. I don't want y'all to think I'm just seeking praise. I'm just clowning. But I wrote something called The Unthinkable, and it was a song. It's actually a song. I got a beat and everything for it. But I'm coming into the realization that I may never record the song nor release it. So I'm going to do the acapella of it. And it's called The Unthinkable, and it's actually dealing with unthinkable things. It's a free write. I just wrote. Just went and write and let my ink spill out on paper from my brain to the pen, to the paper. So I want y'all to vibe with me as we discuss The Unthinkable. All right. Dear God, forgive me of my sins. I'm messing on myself. I need to wear a Depends. Overlooking your blessings, I want to bend. Thinking about the money, seeing why they call it ends. It brings you to the end, and sadly, it's the same trend. Turn the TV on now, I think I'm less a man. Lust of money got my flesh and spirit battling. Had the music, now you hear the snakes about rattling. I can't stop paddling. I'm in the water where the current does the handling. Current events, current trends, and current winds. Not to mention the joys of current sins. We so over, but we still can't see the end. Satan lying to us, now we think we close kin. We praise the gangster, the bad guy, the drug dealer. But we have no respect for the life giver. Young men getting murdered. Why y'all happy? This should be unheard of. Sex and God's women just to take their purity? No respect for our queens. I hope you hearing me. When it get cool to treat the ladies like trash, they have our babies, treat them right. Is that too much to ask? This is like taking showers in a house of glass. You think you're clean, but you're exposed because you lack class. I'm staring at my present, looking for my future and thinking about my past. The pain doesn't last, but it comes back without giving chance. I lost my closest friends, dropped out of school, and I don't know my kins. I'd rather be in a hearse. God, please kill me. I'm tired of being cursed. But Christ changed it up. He came into my life and he took me as his wife. He spoils me with love and peace like a dove. My vision switched up to the heavens that's above. God's on a throne. This planet, that's my home. ET, baby, prayers is my phone. I know I'm not a clone. I can't score like you, so I stay in my zone. I stay in my lane. I run my race. I used to go fast, now I run a steady pace. I may not have money, but I'm living so rich. I found my best friend, you know, Lilo and Stitch. God, the Omega, Jireh, my provider. You're far from a man, so you'll never be a liar. I want to go higher. I study your word so I can be like a flyer. Advertise faith. Tell them about love. Encourage those souls. Get those people off of drugs. My actions aren't a fable. Just uncommon, but not the unthinkable.
Mm. Wow. That's pretty dope, man. That's really dope.
I appreciate it.
Really dope.
I appreciate it. Glory to God.
We're definitely going to also, we're also going to play one of your songs, The Way Out.
Yeah.
So let's get into The Way Out, and then we're going to discuss that a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Poetic Lace, The Way Out, here on the Covenant Cafe.
For a better way, you're going through looking for a way out, but all you see is the same old thing. I can see the pain on your face, and you're hoping for a better way. You're going through looking for a way out, but all you see is the same old thing. The best teacher in life is experiences. Your situation bleak and you feel defense. Steady plan for the job and the big house, but where you're at right now ain't what you vision. Won't you change your walk by faith, cause it's hard through the trenches. They outside looking in, seeing what they missing. So they try to get it faster, cooking in the kitchen. Man, they going hard. Get on your job, somebody go on witness. Show them how to live and be a real Christian. It's time we express God, kingdom business. I can see the pain on your face, and you're looking for a better way. You're going through, looking for a way out, but all you see is harder and you feel left out. Close friends start to disappear, and that old drama starts to reappear. Disappear what you want, cause you're feeling near. So you shed a tear. I know you're tired of getting pushed on your rear. Feeling outside, so focused, they won't hire you. Now you're homeless. Dang. What we gon' do now? The money for the rent, doing a few now. Just like sitting on the bed, feeling on yourself. Saying to yourself, I think I got the first love. It's time to get on your knees and pray to the Lord. He's gonna be real tough and I ain't broke before. Keep your eyes on God, I know he's faithful. It's time to reconnect, plug in the cable. I can see the pain on your face, and you're looking for a better way. Going through, hoping for a way out, but all you see is the same old thing. I can see the pain on your face.
your head up and we can watch the sunrise. Sometimes we cry, other times we fly. The sky is what we're supposed to be. God said come up and pull close to me. Sometimes makes us that city really far, but going through the fire makes you star. Don't fall, sign the bond, just make a call. I'm talking prayer line, ministry time. I knew a rocket for the leak, don't pay the rent. But you gotta have faith, call it legacy. When the rain comes, grab an umbrella. God allows it to make a strong fella. So keep your head up, we gon' make it through. God loves you, and that's what's true.
I can see the pain on your face, and you're looking for a better way. Going through, hoping for a way out, yeah. But all you see is the same old thing. I can see the pain on your face, and you're hoping for a better way. Going through, looking for a way out, yeah. But Jesus Christ is the only way. Now the pain is gone away, and you found your better day. You made it through, cause Jesus is the way out, yeah. Now your life ain't gonna be the same. Now your pain is gone away, and you found your better day. You made it through, cause Jesus is the way out. Now your life ain't gonna be the same.
Word of God.
We also gonna actually get into some Lecrae. Hey, tell me your feedback on this particular artist. I know a lot of people having a lot of. I've heard some people say some negative things about this guy. I think he's doing an awesome job at what he does. You know, his skill set is pretty nice. I mean, what do you think?
Man, Lecrae is currently my favorite, you know, is one of my favorite rappers. Currently my favorite rapper. Definitely. He's, of course, that's just how it is. When you're doing something for God that's so unique, you're going to get all kinds of negative feedback. He's on it. You know what I mean? The whole thing is he's reaching the streets. He's reaching the non-believers. That's what he wants. That's the whole goal. The whole plan is, the plan is not to please saints. To please believers, that's not the plan. The plan is to bring people closer to Christ, preferably those who don't know Christ or who don't have a relationship with Him now. You know, we're looking for converts to become believers, to be saved, to walk, to follow Christ. We're not looking to make people who are already with Christ happy. You know, I mean, that's just a bonus. That's a plus. Mm-hmm. So of course you're gonna have your naysayers and everything, especially off his style and who he is. But he's like my favorite Christian rapper. He's my favorite rapper, period. And he's doing his thing. I'm proud of him. Young guy gets going after it. You know,
yeah.
So I'm a supporter. I'm definitely a supporter.
Definitely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get into some Lecrae. This is Boasting here on the Covenant Cafe.
If this life has anything to gain at all, I'll count it lost if I can't hear you. Feel you, cause I need you. Can't walk this earth alone. I recognize I'm not my own. So before I fall, I need to hear you. Feel you as I live to make my boast in you alone.
With every breath I take, with every heartbeat, sunrise or the moonlight in a dark street. Every glance, every dance, every note of a song. It's all a gift undeserved that I shouldn't have known. Every day that I lie, every moment I covet, I'm deserving to die, I'm just earning your judgment. Without the cross, there's only condemnation. If Jesus wasn't executed, there's no celebration. So in times that are good, in times that are bad, for any times that I've had it all, I will be glad. And I will boast in the cross, I'll boast in my pain. I will boast in the sunshine, boast in his rain. What's my life if it's not praising you? Another dollar in my bank account of vain pursuit. I do not count my life as any value or precious at all. Let me finish my race, let me answer. From a call.
I'm not my own. So before I fall, I need
but it is, we swear. Think we holding our own, just a fistful of air. God has never been obligated to give us life. If we fall for our rights, we be in hell tonight. Mere sinners owe nothing but a fierce hand. We never loved him, we pushed away his fierce hands. I rejected his love, grace, kindness, and mercy. Dying of thirst, yet willing to die thirsty. Eternally worthy, how could I live for less? Patiently, you turn my heart away from selfishness. I volunteer for your sanctifying surgery. I know the Spirit's purging me of everything that's hurting me. Remove the veil from my darkened eyes. So now every morning I open your word and see the sunrise. I hope in nothing, boasting nothing, only in your suffering. I live to show you glory, dying to tell your story.
Among, and it's the Christian community that also spreads it. Now,
when the world does something, worldly people, non-believers, atheists, whatever you want to call them, anything contrary to God, Christianity, whenever they, Christianity in particular, whenever somebody outside of Christianity does something, it's okay. It's just, oh, we expect them to do that, it's okay. You forgive them in a week. You don't bash them in a week. But if something goes wrong with the church, you leave the church. No, I can't be with that church no more because they tripping in there and this and that. And then you quit to spread rumors. But you don't spread rumors when it's like, now, Rizzo, let me even go even deeper because I can make this personal so everybody can understand what I'm saying. A&R manager hit me up. I ain't even going to say the label's name or nothing. They hit me up. Lace, you make good music. You know, if you didn't say God as much, your record sales would be crazy higher and you would have more offers. Right? That's what he said. This is my response. I like, wow, it's crazy how, and I articulated it better, but I don't remember what I said word for word. But it's crazy how you got a secular artist. He can say, he can rep his song. He can rep his hood in every song. He can talk about money, sex, cars, and clothes in every song. And it's not a problem. It's not a problem. There's nothing wrong with his repetition. But let me say God twice in a song, in every song, or say God's name once. Now, mind you, I'm going to say it as much as I want to as the Lord has given it to me, but I'm just saying, just let me say it one time in every song. There's a problem. I'm using the word too much. I'm going to push people away. Nobody wants to hear God that much. Not even that part. Or even I'm using that word too much, but somebody might use, we're getting money in every song, and it's not a problem. But if I say glory to God, because y'all know that's my phrase, glory to God in every song, it's a problem.
Wow.
So this is what it all comes down to, you know, because I used the example earlier about how if the church does something, it's a problem. But if Bank of America did something, it's not. So the thing is, it got nothing to do. It's the flesh, straight up. Nobody wants to be with God. Like the flesh, I'm saying, because the flesh is wicked. So it's easy. It's easier to turn your back on the church or turn your back on the brothers in Christ. It's easier. But if somebody of the world do something, you can forgive them? This is why we got to check ourselves daily, a spiritual check. Spiritual check and just a self-check in all together. Mm-hmm. How is it so easy for if my brother tells me, hey, bro, you need to cut, you need to do something about that cursing, I can get mad at him. But if somebody give me a blunt, I don't get mad. Bro, he's more concerned about how I am killing me. And the other person is more worried about my salvation and how I articulate myself amongst people and the respecting myself. But I can be mad and have a grudge against him because he corrected me, but I don't have a problem with somebody who's selling me death.
Wow.
That don't make any sense. It's intriguing to me because it's ignorance. And then lets you know that we have a problem with being closer to God and being holy because we're quick to turn our backs on God over little stuff. But major things that go on in day-to-day life, like the president can lie to us one day and then say something else and we forgive him. But if the bishop, the preacher, the pastor tell a lie or he get caught in a scandal, man, we writing blogs ourselves. What kind of sense does that make? A regular person writing a blog about a pastor, he ain't never wrote a blog in his life.
Wow.
But he ain't got nothing to say about how they pimping us on his healthcare scheme.
Mm.
This is a wake-up call. Like for you to say that, it just sparks something in my spirit. Like, it's a problem for me to go outside. When I say glory to God, people get nervous. But if I say, oh, shh, it's okay, it's regular, that doesn't make no sense.
I don't want to set you off, but let's say it like this. If you say, hey, yeah, you're looked at as Mr. Goody Two Shoes. Oh, he's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a bad thing.
Yeah,
you don't do that. He's a good guy. Oh, you don't drink? Oh man. Oh, well, you can't hang out. Well, I can't hang out with y'all. Well, I can't go out. You don't always have to drink to hang out.
True.
I've been in situations where people are like, okay, we about to go here. Da 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 da. Oh well, the mom might not want to go because he don't drink. Well, don't they serve soda? Can I get a water? You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah. I've been surprised by that too.
How you gonna shut me out before I can even open my mouth? You know, and that's the funny thing about it. I mean, that's just life. I mean, if you like, when it comes down to the music, look at your groups like Wu-Tang. They were spreading the message of 5%.
Yeah.
The Nation of Islam.
Easy. Easy.
And everybody accepted it. They people went and got beanies. You know, people just kind of followed along with that trend.
Right.
And that's the thing with our, I can't say with all people, but that's the thing with our people, we follow a trend. Whatever's hot, that's what they're following. Just
yeah.
like when a president was running, you saw all the President Obama shirts, all the Black History shirts with Obama in there.
Mm-hmm.
After that was over, do you even see that right now?
No.
You don't even see it. You know, that's how you know we follow trends. It's hot. At that moment in 2008, it was hot to go grab a Obama shirt and rock it. I mean, if that's who
yeah.
you like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I haven't seen one since.
True.
You know, I don't mean to keep going back and forth, but it's just that's just the way people do things in our society. We kind of make ourselves lean towards one way and dislike the other way. You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
if you say, hey, man, I don't drink, I don't smoke. Oh, man, you can't have a good time, man. Why can't I have a good time?
Right.
You know what I mean? How have I been getting along in life? I'm 39 years old.
Right.
Okay, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
so I haven't been having fun all this time. I just been
right.
I just been so boring. You know, it's incredible to me. People's mindset is to follow what is hot, and that's an unfortunate thing instead of following what's right.
And it's ridiculous. it's not right. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying it's always the ones that's closer to you that's doing those jabs too.
Yeah. And it's funny you said that because I can remember clearly. I remember several different instances, and these are moments in my life that could have changed me so much. Like these are dealing with older people. I didn't even want to talk about my peers, but I'm saying like dealing with older folks, older men at that. Mind you, growing up without a father figure, it's been tough for me to really receive an older man just because of the fact of, you know, we growing up without a dad in our lives, it's like we don't see a man telling us what to do as a good guy kind of thing. So lucky for me, that worked in my favor. But I remember clearly, I was around 15 years old, dude was like one of the older dudes. He was like, why you don't, you need to sag. Sag down. Why you ain't sagging? I'm like, well, shoot, because from what I've read, when you're sagging, you know, in jail, it shows that you open for business. And ain't nothing gay about me, straight up. So I was known to have an attitude. Now I got an attitude problem because I disagree with that wrong information you're trying to serve me. So that's one instance I remember clearly. Another instance I remember clearly is the fact that I hit 21 years old. I'm at a little social gathering, and like you don't drink. And like why you don't drink? You need to drink and this and that. Da 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 da. How can you say you having a good time and you don't drink? You're going to make everybody feel uncomfortable. Da-da-da. This older man now. Older man. Now, this is as I was changing. As I started my walk, I started getting really serious. Now, mind you, I've never been a drinker or a smoker, but this is when I really started changing. Oh, I want to throw something out there for my listener, for everybody out there. As of on the 22nd, I've hit 3 years abstinence from sex. I just want to let you know that's how serious I am about this walk. So, like I said, I was 21 at the time. I'm 24 now. That's 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious about my walk. And you trying to tell me I need to be drinking to make other people feel comfortable? What else do you want me to do to make other people feel comfortable? It's like you could have just detoured who I am today from one little message. And it's just, and that's the thing I'm just saying, like just piggybacking off of what you're saying of how this trend is killing us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even talking about just black people. I'm talking about all of us. Because there is some kind of trend. It's always some kind of trend. Like, because if you want to play with the Wall Street game, let me get money. I'm gonna get money, get a white house and this and that, get the white picket fence and have the kids enough, but I'm more focused about my job. So you're never home and you're busy getting money, I guess, which is cool, but you're not there to raise your kids. And then your kid grows up without a father figure and he messes around and shoots school up because he don't know how to be loved. And he feel like he is over or he commits suicide Or even better yet, he just grew up to be an a-hole. Mm. You know, and it's a trend regardless. Like, people are following the same thing just because their dad did it and their dad did it, or just because this is what society is telling them to do. So, all in all, God's voice is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And it's okay. This is what they're telling us. It's okay. That spiritual mm-hmm. stuff is crazy. That's ridiculous. That is not something that is okay. It's okay. It's better to be like somebody than to be your own self, to have your own identity, than to be who God called you to be. It's better to be like the next man. It's sad to me.
Cookie cutter. It's that cookie cutter mentality. You can't be outside the box type deal. If you go outside of the box and don't follow what everyone else follows, you're looked at as the weird guy. You know what I mean? We're not the weird guy. And same thing for the females. That's taking that same walk. You know, if the female, you know, if the female doesn't want to do something, they would consider it stuck up.
Yeah.
You know, there are some females that have that air about them, but you have to look at what they have been through prior to you seeing them at that moment.
Exactly. Right.
You don't know their story. So for you for an individual to try to talk to her, she may have her guard up.
Right.
She may have been heartbroken time after time after time again. And then you're just that guy that may have, and sometimes it may not be that the guy itself. There are
right.
other triggers, meaning the guy might have a type of cologne where this young lady, where her rapist, the person that did her wrong, they had the same cologne.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? So it may not be the person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I might say, hey, girl, what's up? Not to say I will, because I am married, but I'm just using that as an example.
Yeah. Okay.
And that cologne that I may be wearing may turn her away. Not to say, hey, that cologne you're wearing remind me of my dad when he used to hit me when I was younger. They're not going to say that.
Right.
They're going to, oh, no, you know, I'm not interested. And then me, on the other hand, I get upset. Oh, she's just stuck up. She, man, no.
True.
Just because a woman don't say yes on the first drop don't mean that she's stuck up.
Right.
Maybe she won't step back. Maybe she is digging you. You know what I mean?
Mm.
But she has to step back and like, wait a minute, you know, that smell is all too familiar for me.
Right.
So,
no,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I'm definitely agreeing with what you're saying. That's look how in depth it is. She possibly turns you down because your cologne set off a negative trigger in her mind.
Exactly.
That's how real it is. And it's just real, man. You stirring something up over here. Like I feel like a woman should not have to spread her legs to get a good man, nor does she have to spread her legs to climb the ladder. And it's like, I feel like we play, like, cause, like growing up, the same, we hear this phrase so often, where the at, where the whores at, you know, where they at, or she a hoe, or this and that. You always hear this phrase, and it's like, for you hear that say, like, I'm not going to talk to her because she a hoe. And then you get mad because she won't sleep with you. What you talking about? What are you talking about? So I put the responsibility on men right now, because as men, we're supposed to be leaders. We're supposed to be priests. We're supposed to be kings. We're supposed to be warriors. So we're supposed to show women the proper way a man should treat you. So if we – example. So if I'm sleeping around with all these girls, how do I expect to have a good woman, a woman who don't sleep around when I'm doing it? I'm teaching all these females the only way to get a man of my caliber is to sleep with me. So she goes off and she becomes a hoe just so she can get a good man.
But remember this, the double standard that we have. The
yeah.
woman is seen as the slut, and the man seen as, oh, you are the man. You got all the women.
And that's wrong. Because a man, if a man sleep around, he a slut. Straight up.
Mm-hmm.
That is wrong. You should, I don't really care what you're putting, because you're giving your body is a temple. That's what the Bible clearly says. And when you join, when the two become one, because when you have sex, you become one. The two become one. So you're joined, you're inheriting all those demons. And all the people that she slept with is not with you, and all the people you slept with is not with her. So regardless of how they're trying to make it a double standard and how it's okay for men to do this and how it's not okay for women to do that, it's not okay overall, because it's still sin, and God still frowns upon that. So it's just, you know, it's so much. You know, we'll be talking for hours, because, you know, I'm going to go off on a tantrum about how just as men we need to tighten up. And also, I mean, not putting it all on us, because women have their own minds too. And they fought for rights to vote, and they fought for to be in the same position, you know, if not equal authority in certain establishments as men. So with that fighting also comes with responsibility too. So women at the same time should, I think, yeah. I mean, you know how I feel like they should also speak up more as well, as far as like telling us. Because men, we're not psychics, you know what I mean? I'm kind of jumping around, because you remember you was talking about the cologne part and everything. Well, also for a man to understand what's going on with a woman, not necessarily like I try to turn me down, you tell me why you turned down. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like you telling me what's going on so I can have a better understanding of what it is,
mm-hmm.
what it is we're dealing with. You get what I'm saying in some sense? As far as making communication more of easy, just making it easy for one another, so we don't have to be in so much strife.
Absolutely. You know what I'm going to do is, we're getting into the last 15 minutes, I'm going to go ahead and play this Marvin Sapp song, He Has His Hands on You, and we're going to come out of there, and then we're going to go into our closing. Because this topic right here, we definitely could go on and on about this, because, you know, I'm raising two girls. You know, they're young,
yes,
right now, eight and four, very impressionable ages. So it's a very hot topic with me, you know. And I do everything in my power to raise my girls right. Not just me, my wife as well. But as the father figure, you know, try to be there as much as I can, you know. Being the field that I'm in, it is time consuming, because I'm always on the go. I'm always here. I'm always out there. I'm always, you know, out of town sometimes. But when I'm here, I try to make myself the best of it. Because
when I
get older, not to say it's too late, but at that time, it's hard to bring them back.
It's hard.
Mm-hmm. So I spoil them in a good way, because the way I look at it is, so I know I said I'm going to play the song, but I want to say this. I spoil my children in a matter that they earn it. So you get it. Every time you on point, you get it. Okay?
Right.
Because the thing is, when they get older and they start dating, I don't want them to date anybody second rated.
Mm.
You know what I mean? My girls will have what they're going to have. So when they start dating, they're like, man, I can't take this. You know what I mean? My father had me on a higher standard. My mom had me on a higher standard. You know, because if you set that bar for them, and then when they start dating, they're not going to date no dude subpar. They're going to, look, my dad, he has his master's. My dad has 2 degrees. My mom has her 3. No. I'm not taking that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you got to set that bar for your child, whether it's a girl or a boy. Set that bar, because when they leave the house, they going to start looking, okay, well, this that level where that master's, that level, you know, both my parents went to college. This is what I'm going to follow. You know, or some hood rap. Like, yo, shorty, you know, no, ain't no shorty. You what? Shorty? No, you know what I'm saying? So I want to go ahead and set that bar, so when they get out there, hey, I think it's wrong to spoil your child if they do bad and you still buying them. You know what I mean? You still
Yeah, true.
spoiled. But I, you know, we spoiled to the fact that, okay, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, yes, you get that. Yes, you can go there. Yes, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but outside of that, man, I'm just trying to get these girls prepared for the regular world, because when they're there, you know, it's gonna break loose. You know what I'm trying to say, right?
Yeah.
So, I'm really not trying to have them accept no less than what they've been accepting in a household.
Right.
The values that they see in the household. So laziness. You know what? That's another topic. We could talk about that next week, but right now we gotta go ahead and start trying to wrap this up. So I'm going ahead and play.
Before you play the song, since we was talking about females, I wanted to just hit this topic. Shout out to Erin D'Angelo. I'm sorry if I messed her name up, but she is Florida's first female high school quarterback, 17-year-old senior of high school. She's making history by becoming the first female in Florida to play quarterback on a football team. This is down in South Plantation High. So, you know, since we're speaking on the topic of females and, you know, driving and being, you know, being ambitious and also, you know, going after your goals, I definitely felt like that was something that I should have, you know, we had to speak on of her. So congratulations to her, Erin D-I-M-E-G-L-I-O, D'Angelo. Now you can.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
We need like 3 hours. to y'all. You know what? We have about 10 minutes. So what we're gonna do is go ahead and play the Marvin Sapp song, and we'll be back after these messages. Well, after his song, because I think this song needs to be heard right now. He has his hands on you, Marvin Sapp. But we'll be right back after Marvin Sapp. That wasn't a rap, neither.
Listen.
He sees the tears you cry.
And he shares. And sometimes
you wonder why he
allows
you to
go through
what you go through.
But listen. Good place to slip up those hands to give him some praise. Oh, I can't get no help with him. That's a good place to bless him. Listen to the words.
See your days. Your days are filled with dark clouds.
Even when the sun is up, yes, it is. And from the top of your lungs,
you shout.
Oh, can I tell you one thing? Remember, just know
he has his hand.
He has
his hand.
Yes, he does.
He said,
he'll see you through. And when you cry, he's holding you. So just for he will provide. Yes, he will. Just know
he
has his hands on. Sometimes you feel so alone, like a child lost and no home. They keep telling. But you say, when will
Y'all can call in and we'll pray on the air. Straight up.
Definitely.
That's what we're about. Okay, but the closing scripture, it's funny, I only got 4 minutes, so I ain't gonna be too long because we can get into that outro. But the closing scripture comes from Proverbs 15:16-17. And this is something really good to hold on to for the week. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. So just to make that in layman's term, it's better to have a little bit of food with a whole bunch of people that love you than to have the best meal of your life with people that hate you.
Wow.
Or it's better to have no money and be in an environment of God than to have all the money in the world and wind up going to hell. The whole thing is, the Lord showed me this just to share, to be thankful for the blessings you have. It's so often that we look at what everybody else is doing, what everybody else got, but you don't know their life. Because there are people in this industry that I've met, in this industry with all the flame, with all the fame, getting money and everything like that, but they're miserable. They're popping pills to sleep and drink liquor after they go and speak to people just to keep their nerves intact. But you're at home and you got a family that loves you. You are way better off than them. So don't be looking at all these celebrities who got to take pills to sleep at night because of the evils that they deal with at day. And don't look at them and admire them, because I promise you, if you're at home with your family, with your kids, or your people, your spouses that love you, or your coworkers that love you, not making that much money or whatever it may be, you are better off than them. I promise you that. I promise you that. So this is what the scripture is telling us. It's better to be in an environment of love, even though you may have little, than to be in an environment of trouble, having everything you want.
And you're absolutely right, because we all always have our eyes set on what other people are doing and not what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know, that's a powerful piece. So you guys take that and use it wisely. We actually really, really appreciate you guys tuning in every week to the Covenant Cafe. Sometimes we have some issues, technical issues, but hey, the devil's alive. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
This is the Covenant Cafe. See you next week. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
The outro, so long, farewell. This ain't goodbye forever, but only time will tell. We had some funny moments, real talking interviews. Every Sunday, 7:30 Eastern time, we do this. Build you up, encourage you. This is the D-Hour Show, feel free to come on through. Lamont Ferguson, Poetic Lacey's are the host. From the east to the west, we rock at coast to coast. The Covenant Cafe, yeah, that is the name. We reppin' Jesus Christ. Yeah, we're unashamed. He died so we can live. So I'm steady boasting. I think that calls for cheers. So I'm steady toasting. What's up, D Slade? That's the CEO. He's tapping on the glass. I guess it's time to go. So let me close with these words so I can keep it meek. Thanks for stopping by. Hope to see you next week.